Please turn with me to where we read together earlier on in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. We set off in Mark's Gospel some weeks ago now with this title, Serving the Servant King. And a Christian is but a servant, a disciple. That's what the word means, a learner, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been seeing how the disciples of the Lord Jesus were learning. And we saw that particularly in chapter 4 in the classroom. How the Lord Jesus, going through the different parables that Mark records, is teaching his disciples. They are learning of him. But then we've seen also how the Lord Jesus took them out into the world, into experience. And what a difference that made from chapter 4, verse 35, and through into chapter 5 here, where we're looking again this morning. In chapter 4 and verse 41, they said, didn't they? Who is this? Who is this? Well, they've been with the Lord Jesus for a year and a half. And they still got things to learn about him. And so have we. There's so much to know of Christ, our Saviour. So often we say, who is this? This is amazing. We've not seen this before. And that was the disciples. And I wonder this morning, do you know the Lord Jesus? Do you know him? He had such grace to help, didn't he, his disciples in that boat? Such power to save them. Well, not only did they learn about Jesus' power over nature in that storm, but we saw last week how they saw the power of the Lord Jesus over the demons and his wonderful grace to help that man, Legion. And you know, the disciples saw that the Lord Jesus went all the way across the sea of Galilee just to save that one man. Isn't that gracious? Isn't that wonderful? Just compare chapter 4 and verse 35. On the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. He purposed to go over to the other side of the lake. And when he was there, he had this one amazing encounter with this man, Legion. And we read in chapter 5, verse 21, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, he returned back again. He had gone all that way to save one man. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that gracious? Isn't that lovely to think of that? How the Lord Jesus deals with you and me as individuals. We read about the crowds. And there were always crowds. But we're going to see this morning again how Jesus deals with individuals. One here and one there. And he says to them, like he said to Legion, go home and tell what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had compassion on you. If you're a Christian this morning, that's our great task, isn't it? To go home, to go away from this place, from the Lord's Day, from a Sunday, to go home and be prepared to live out and speak out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you got anything to tell? If you haven't got anything to tell, I'd say to you this morning, you're not a Christian. If you haven't got anything to tell, you're not a Christian. And I want you to become a Christian this morning. And what we see this morning is a wonderful picture of how someone comes to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And comes to know him. And that's what we pray and seek. That you would come to know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. There are two interwoven stories in the passage we read.
Mark's a great storyteller, and he tells us this story in some detail. And he shows us here, as Sinclair Ferguson says in his commentary, a woman who had had 12 long years of weakness. And a young girl who'd had 12 short years of life. It all begins with one word. It all begins with one word. This story. And it's in verse 23. Chapter 5 and verse 23. This man Jairus had come to the Lord Jesus, this ruler of the synagogue, that synagogue in which Jesus had done some great things earlier on. This man obviously had seen and known the Lord Jesus himself, what he could do. And when he saw Jesus coming back across from the other side, he fell at his feet. And in verse 23, read this, he begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death." And here's the word, come. Come. Please come. Come. You know, it's interesting to think that on this side of the lake, there's one saying, come. And on the other side of the lake where Jesus had done that remarkable miracle in the life of Legion, what is the word there? Well, the word in verse 17 is the word, depart. On one side, as it were, of the lake, there were those who were saying, depart, we don't want to know. Please go away. And on the other side of the lake, there's this man saying to the Lord Jesus, come, please come. You know, that marks you and me out this morning. Boys and girls, it marks you out too. Whether you're saying in your heart, depart, I don't want to know. It's what I used to do. When I was a teenager, I did not want to know. Or on this side, you're saying, come. Lord Jesus, please come. Do you pray that? Do you pray that on a Sunday, week by week, do you pray that the Lord Jesus would come by his Spirit into this place and bless us and bring people to know the Lord Jesus? That's got to be our prayer, isn't it? Lord, please come. Please come. Which side of the lake are you this morning? Which side of the lake are you in your own heart this morning? You're saying, Lord, please come. You're saying, really, depart. I don't want to know. Well, what a need that this woman had. These two stories linked together. And next week we're going to think about the story of Jairus and his daughter. But you know that story begins, doesn't it? How Jairus comes and he says to the Lord Jesus, please come. And the Lord Jesus sets off with him, and he is coming to him. And we'll learn great lessons about that next week. But we find that on the journey, on this path, on this road to that house, however far away it was, however distant, here is the Lord Jesus, and he's waylaid, and he's stopped, and he's interrupted by a woman who is in great need. And in all that crowd, and we read what a crowd there was, what a great multitude in verse 24. A great multitude followed him. And not only followed him, but thronged him. They were all round him. They were pressing in on the Lord Jesus as he was walking along, wanting to catch what he said. Wanting to come to know this great teacher, this great healer. Great crowd. But the scripture comes and it just takes us to two people. To a woman in all her need. And the Lord Jesus in all his grace and mercy. That's what we need to see this morning. Those two people. So I want to just show you four things about this woman. And then four things about the Saviour. Four things about this woman. They're very simple. They're very straightforward. They're there for us in the passage. They're very instructive and helpful to us in understanding the gospel. Because we see, first of all, about this woman, she had a constant problem. A constant problem. It's in verse 25. Now, a certain woman, we don't even know her name, had a flow of blood for 12 years. This was her constant problem. Year after year. Day after day. Through the winter and the spring and the summer and the autumn of 12 long years. This hemorrhage, this loss of blood, she was never free from it. She always was conscious of it. It troubled her. It weakened her. And I'm no doubt it saddened her. And those of you who are ladies in the congregation, you would know perhaps something of what she was going through. And if you lose blood all the time, you become so weak. And it is such a distressing thing. It was a constant problem. Now, spiritually, you know, that's what sin is. That's what sin is. You see, the Lord Jesus here is teaching his disciples not only his power over nature and demons and here disease, and next week we'll see death, but he's teaching his disciples about his grace. And if we're learners of the Lord Jesus, if we're disciples this morning, we have to learn more and more about his grace. And here is his grace. Because this woman had the constant problem that dogged her all the time and weakened her, is an illustration of sin, what sin is like. You know, the conscience works within us. And the conscience works within us and tells us about sin. It tells us about those weaknesses that we have and the things that we just can't handle. And they well up within us and they make us feel wretched inside. The thoughts that come, the things we do, and why can't we stop doing them? And the thoughts we think, and why can't we just get rid of them? Why won't they go away? The things we say. So cutting in the things we say. And you know what your sin is, because your conscience tells you. And your conscience tells you every day. And you regret these things. And you hate these things, but you can't get rid of them. It is a constant problem. A constant problem. All through life. 12 years, 20 years, 50 years, 70 years. The constant problem of sin. It's illustrated here in this condition of this lady. The second thing we find is this. It was a worsening condition. Not only was it a constant problem, but it was getting worse. It was a worsening condition. Verse 26, it tells us this. And she'd suffered many things from many physicians. She'd spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. No one seemed to be able to help her. Well, we can imagine what it was like, the doctors and medics of the day. We're so glad, aren't we, we live in this day and age, that we can go and have all the tests done and everything else, and somebody can say to us, look, it's okay. Or, I know what the problem is. And if you take this, this is going to help. But whatever they did, nothing seemed to help. Wherever she went, no one seemed to be able to understand. What was the cause of this problem? And the condition got worse. It didn't get any better. And she'd spent money. There was no National Health Service. Well, we're so grateful for these things, aren't we? But there was nothing like that. And she was dying. If you continue to lose blood over 12 years, then there's something seriously wrong, isn't there? And she was dying. Physically, she would be very weak and hopeless. And you know, in a religious sense too, she was a Jewish woman, this condition made her what the Old Testament describes as unclean. She wouldn't be able to have that freedom of fellowship and to attend the religious services and so on of her day. She would be prevented from doing that. And that just made things worse and worse. She was ceremonially unclean. You know, sin is like that too. Because sin makes us unclean. And sin gets worse. You know, we hear people's testimony. And we talk to people, and we hear again and again, I just couldn't get it any better. It got worse and worse. We were talking to that lady a few weeks ago who believed in reincarnation. And she told us that she believed that we were all going round and round again. And as we went round and round again, as we came back as someone else or some other creature or whatever she believed, then things would get better. And I said to her, well, look, just take the 2,000 years since Jesus was upon this earth. Have things got better or worse? It was almost as if she'd never really thought. And she had to admit things had got worse. And as your life goes on, the problem with sin gets worse. It gets worse. Unbelief gets worse. Bitterness gets more bitter. The lies get more sophisticated. Oh, sin gets worse. And there's no one who can help, you know. There's no one who can help. I read a sermon this week by Spurgeon, and he had 4 points. He said this: none of them understood the disease. The remedies prescribed were impossible to take. The medicines given didn't touch the case at all. And no one recognized that the only cure was the Saviour. Well, we could have preached on those 4 points. But you see, sin in the life, in our lives, gets worse and worse. And then we see a third thing. This woman, she had a longing desire. She had a longing desire. Read verses 27 and 28 with me. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I may be made well. If only, if only. Boys and girls, young people, each one of us, do you know that? Do you know that? If only, if only I could get it cleaned up. If only I could get it dealt with. Somehow, somewhere. You know, there are people out there, maybe the person who sits next to you, maybe in their deepest, deepest need, that maybe they've not confessed to you, that they are saying this, if only, if only. That's what this woman was saying. She had a longing desire. This worsening condition made that desire even stronger. The fact that she tried everything else. You know, when we're talking to people in the open air or when we're witnessing, let's remember this. That the Lord takes people to the point of if only. Maybe we might meet them there. Let's talk about the Saviour. Let's talk about the one who can help. Her longing desire. Well, she came to the right place, didn't she? She came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see fourthly about this woman. She had a simple faith. It was a simple faith. Read these two verses again. When she heard about Jesus, She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. There's nothing very sophisticated about this, is there? Nothing very religious about it. She came to the Lord Jesus and touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. I shall be made well." She had a simple faith. And it was so simple. We read she just heard. She heard. She came. She touched. What did she touch? Well, the other Gospels tell us that she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. I used to think perhaps she was almost on the floor, almost on her knees. That couldn't be, could it? There was a great crowd of people around. She couldn't have got down on her knees and reached the very bottom, the hem of his garment. What it is thought is meant by this, that the Jewish men wearing an outer garment would wear tassels. It was part of that religious instruction they'd had way back in the Old Testament. And those tassels would swing as a man walked, swing at the back of his clothing. And as those tassels swung, this woman in the crowd just reached out and just touched one of them. That's all she did. She just reached out and touched. And she said this, "If I may just even do that, I will be healed." And we have to remember, don't we, when we're witnessing to people, it's not that people should know all the doctrine. It's not that people should know all the depth of Scripture. They need to know their need. We need to know our need. We need to know the Saviour and what he can do. And the link is this. It is faith. It is simple faith. It's the reaching out of the hand. Was she doing anything grand or great? Was she bringing anything of herself? Nothing in her hand she brought. All she could do was touch. This is what Ray Palmer says in his hymn. "My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. All may I from this day be wholly thine." And I think about Fanny Crosby. Though she was a very highly intelligent young woman, it wasn't her intelligence, was it, that saved her? Though she had that great ability, it wasn't her ability that saved her. Though she had the background, that didn't save her. Though she had the knowledge even of Scripture, that in itself did not save her. What saved her was this, singing that hymn, and simply seeing in that hymn the Lord Jesus Christ. She couldn't see him with her naked eyes. She was blind. And you and I won't do. But in that simple faith, she was broken and humbled. What's Mark's favourite word? Verse 29. Immediately. Immediately. Can it happen immediately? We were hearing from Edwin last week about how someone came in Covent Garden during the recent mission, the open air mission. A number of men down there, others helping, preaching in the open air, preaching in Covent Garden. And a man came in deep need, and he was saved immediately, there and then. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Last Tuesday we had a prayer meeting here before we went out. We heard the remarkable testimony of a man of middle age with 5 children. He said, "I just lived for myself. I was a computer programmer, had a great job, self-employed, lot of pressure, but he brought in lots of money. He said, I thought I was a good father, a good husband, because I gave the money to my wife. She had everything she needed. The children had everything they needed. I had a big bike, a big motorbike, a 350cc motorbike. I could just take off on my own. I could go and have a drink anywhere, go out with my friends. I could do anything. Anything I wanted. I had all the money and everything else." But one day his wife said to him, I'm going to leave you. He was just devastated. Why would she leave him? She said, because you don't care. You don't care. And it hit him. His business got into difficulties. The pressure of trying to drum up business in a recession. He got to the stage where one day he went into the bathroom. He locked the door. And he fell down and cried out. He said, I didn't even know who I was crying out to. But I cried out. If you're there, God, will you help me? I'm desperate. See, just reaching out. That's all he was doing, reaching out to touch the Saviour. He spoke to his brother. His brother was a Christian. His brother had been praying for him for years. Are you praying for someone? We're going to think next week about how this man, Jairus, was longing for his daughter. Are you longing for someone to be saved? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has power to save? Well, he saved that man. And his brother told him, he said, I've been praying for you for years. And he said, I sat down, he said, I opened the Bible. And he said, I can read 3 or 4 verses. And he said, it is amazing. God is there with me. He'd never done that in his life before. He came to know the Lord Jesus Christ 4 months ago. And on Tuesday he said, I want to come out and I want to tell other people what God has done for me. See, it's real, isn't it? We saw last week, it's real. It's radical. It will be resisted, but it's real. 4 things about this woman. She had a constant problem. She had a worsening condition. She had a longing desire. But the Lord had planted in her a simple faith to reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ in all her need. And your need and my need is not a physical condition, though that may be a problem for us and a difficulty. But it's sin. It's sin and the need of cleansing and a Saviour. Now we've got to look at the other person. Because, you know, we need the whole story, don't we? Sometimes we say, well, I've heard that side of the story. I want to hear the other side. I want to hear the other side of the story. Well, here is the other side. Here are 4 things about the Saviour. Here are 4 things about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, first of all, his knowledge. The knowledge of Jesus Christ. In this situation, the knowledge he had. Read verse 30. And Jesus, immediately, there's his word again, Mark's word, immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched me? And yet, we read in verse 32 that he looked around to see her who had done this thing. It's a strange thing, isn't it? Jesus asked the question, but that was so that all could hear. And the disciples heard it, didn't they? And they said, look, this is ridiculous. Verse 31. You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? I often wonder sometimes how the things in the scripture are said. I don't know who said this. Sounds like a Peter, doesn't it? Lord, who touched me? They're all touching you. But Jesus knows. He knew. He knew that man Legion, didn't he? He knew him. And he knows this young girl we'll see next week. Jairus' daughter. And he knew this woman. And he knows you. And he knows me. He knows each one of us. He knows our hearts. And boys and girls, young people, he knows your heart's desire. And maybe you've not told anyone else. But maybe this is your heart's desire. Like this woman. I want to become a Christian. I want to be saved. And he knows it. And he knew this woman was reaching out and had done so to touch him. He knows simple faith. Second thing I want you to notice is the power of Christ. Well, we're seeing that all through these accounts, aren't we? The power of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 30. Immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. This woman was healed immediately. Jesus knew immediately that power had gone out of him. Now, we must be careful how we read that. We don't read it in the sense that power had been taken away from him. Or somehow the amount of power that Jesus had was denuded, part taken away, removed from him. Doesn't mean that at all. What it means this, that Jesus Christ knew that here was a meeting. And the meeting was of the simple faith of this woman with the power and grace of his person meeting together in that simple touch. And it's only simple, isn't it? It's just that touch. It was a simple hymn that was being sung when Fanny Crosby was converted. Simply singing that hymn of Isaac Watts she'd sung many times before, but it touched her heart. The power, the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were many around. Many around. But one was saved. This passage has been pressed upon my heart this week. I don't know why, but maybe there's one here. Maybe one of you young ones. Maybe this morning it's when the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace will touch your life. Then thirdly, I want you to notice this. The requirements of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see his knowledge. We can see his power. But we see his requirements. Look at this in verse 32. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. The truth of the matter was this, that the woman wanted to come and slip in. She was a slim woman. She was only a slip of a thing. I know that because of the condition that she was in. She managed to get through and reach and touch that tassel. And her aim was this, to slip away. But Jesus immediately, he knew. Before she even almost had removed her hand, she was there. And he made a requirement of what he had done. And that was this, that she say it, that she tell it, that people know it. It's a loving requirement. It's a reasonable requirement, and it's a loving requirement. It's a question. Who touched my clothes? Now, dozens could have said, well, it was me. I'm sorry. But the way the Lord Jesus asked this question, I think, was this. Directly into her face. Directly into her eyes. Who touched? And what he said was this. In effect, I know you have touched. And he knows you this morning. He knows if you've become a Christian. And this is what his requirement is. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, then that seals it. It gives evidence to it. That's what happens in baptism. But it happens the very day that these things happen. And in the days that follow. Go home and tell what great things God has done for you. And we had the joy on Tuesday of listening to this man, a young 4-month-old Christian, speaking from the lips of a middle-aged man This is what Jesus has done for me. It can have a remarkable effect.
Yesterday they showed on the news a man in the United States who came into a bank, and he was captured on CCTV. And he got a hoodie on, and he pulled out a gun, and he said to the young girl behind the counter, "Open the till." Do you know what she said?
She said, "I want you to know Jesus." Completely disarmed him. And she witnessed to him. And she said, "Why are you doing this? You're in such need." And you know, the man melted away. Well, you can't say that he was saved. But just the speaking out of her simple faith had a remarkable effect. Go home and tell your friends. Go home and tell your mum and dad. Tell me. But most of all, tell the Lord Jesus Christ that you love him, want to serve him. And then lastly, I want to show you this. The comforts of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 34. The comforts of the Lord Jesus. He said to her, "Daughter." That's a very endearing term. This was a mature woman. And yet he addressed her in such a loving way. Almost as if she was part of his family. "Daughter," he says, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." What a comforting word. What a lovely thing to say. What words. What things the Lord Jesus says to those who come to him for salvation. With that great need of sin that's just getting worse and worse. That longing desire to be free of it. To be done with it. To be cleansed of it. To know a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. To know you're on the way to heaven. The Lord Jesus says words like this. Ransomed. Healed. Restored. Forgiven. You a Christian this morning? Have you heard those words? Do you remember them? Do you remember when you were first converted? I do. I can remember what it was like. It began to dawn on me what Jesus Christ had done for me. I used to jump about the place. I used to go home from church, that church where I used to want to run away from. I can remember it. What comforts he brought. What sense of sins forgiven. Have you lost that sense? Have you lost your first love? Seek him. Come again and ask. He might really enliven you. And to know this, that he said to her, "Go in peace." Go in peace. Prove him an almighty Saviour. Is the Saviour still? Prove that he can save you fully, can and will. Now, if you're not a Christian, do you believe that? Do you believe it? Why don't you prove it? Why don't you prove it this morning? Prove him. He'll not let you down. And if you are a Christian, and many of us here are, aren't we? Then remember when you proved it the first time. And use this passage to remind you of what great need you were once in and what comforts you now know. That you can go out of this church this morning and you can go in peace. And watch those around you tomorrow who have no peace. And may it remind you to go home and tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you. How he's had compassion upon you. There's a great crowd that day. One woman. Maybe one this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that upon the cross, there he shed his precious blood, that this dire, awful problem of sin in our lives, worsening day by day, might be dealt with, washed, cleansed, ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. Bless your word, Lord, we pray. This morning, if it is given on CD to someone or on the internet, Lord, please bless your word. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.